Welcome to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend from Minneapolis, where the Indians are opening up a 9-game road swing with a 3-game series against the Minnesota Twins. Coming up on this week's show, we'll hear from Sandy Alomar Jr., the Indians catching instructor, on what lies ahead for the Indians catching-wise with Yan Gomes on the disabled list for up to 2 months. We'll also hear from Indians outfielder Jerry Sands and starting pitcher Trevor Bauer. But first, we take a look at the week gone by right after this as we get rolling with Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you from Minneapolis this weekend as the Indians begin a 9-game road swing with 3 here against the Twins. Got off to a tough start on Friday night, a 3-2 loss in 11 when Trevor Plouffe hit a game-winning home run off of Tribe reliever Brian Shaw. Been a quiet week for the Indians. They've had 2 off days and really just the 2 games at home in addition to last night's series opener here in Minneapolis. The Indians lost to the White Sox on Tuesday night, their 4th consecutive loss at home to start their home schedule, but they bounced back nicely with a 4-2 victory against the White Sox on Wednesday afternoon. And one of the big keys, the continued strong pitching of Trevor Bauer, who had a tough spot to work out of in the 4th inning. Now Bauer's ready. Sets at the belt. The 2-2 pitch. Fastball called, strike 3. Locked him up on the outside corner at the knees. Soto down on strikes. Side retired. Bauer gets out of a bases-loaded jam. And we'll head to the bottom half of the 4th. The Tribe 1, the White Sox nothing. And then in the bottom half of the inning, the Indians would pad a lead thanks to Lonnie Chisenhall. Danks from the stretch. Here's his pitch. Swung on, line drive, down the right field line, fair ball. One hop up against the wall. Sands has scored. Here comes Rayburn. He scores into second with a slide and a 2-run double. It's Lonnie Chisenhall. The Indians have grabbed a 3-0 lead. Later on in the ball game, Carlos Santana would chip in with an RBI base hit. The 1-2. Swung on, ground ball on the left side, and it finds the hole all the way through. Rounding third, heading for home is Kipnis. He scores. And Santana's RBI single gives the Indians a 4-0 lead. Here they have the shift on for Santana, and he still banged it through that left side. And for Carlos Santana, RBI number 6 on the year. And in the end, it was Cody Allen working out of the jam for the save.
Now the set. Now the 2-2 offering. A swing and a miss. Ball game. A curveball that was not a strike. But Cody Allen gets Jose Abreu to end it. It got dicey here in the 9th. But the Indians are able to hang on and beat the Chicago White Sox 4-2 and win their first game at home in the process. Trevor Bauer wins his 2nd game, and Cody Allen notches his 2nd save of the year.
After the game, Lonnie Chisenhall stopped by to talk about the big win for the Indians.
Congratulations, Lonnie, because I'm guessing everybody this time of the year presses a little bit. Boy, when you get a big RBI hit like you did, does it kind of relax everybody, including yourself?
Yeah, it does. You kind of got to get into the rhythm of the season, and you know you have a tendency to keep looking up there at the scoreboard and you know hoping for a high average. But you know the first week of the season, it goes up and down so much. You just try not to ride that roller coaster.
Hey, Lonnie, your big base hit comes off a left-hander, and I know it's been a topic of conversation early with all the lefties the Indians have seen, but you made some strides in that area last year. You're still feeling good early this season against them?
Yeah, I've continued my lefty work. Luckily, our hitting, or Ty Van Berkley, our hitting coach, is left-handed, so I'm able to see a lefty every day. You know, I make a really strong effort to feel comfortable with them, and, you know, I took some strides last year, and I look forward to taking some more this year.
Well, you talked about it, Lonnie. Everything is so magnified early in the year. You hadn't had a win on this homestand, and, gosh, you're eight games in. I mean, it isn't the end of the world.
I know. I mean, if a season was eight games long, you know, not many people would play it. But, you know, I look forward to getting hot here in, you know, middle, late April, and, you know, putting some wins in the win column and, you know, having some fun.
And with that said, a close finish here today, some things going on in the ninth inning. Almost a feeling of relief just to nail it down and get it done and now see what you can do from here?
Yeah, certainly. We came out with energy. That's what we were lacking on the homestand. We didn't have any energy. And, you know, we had some big things going. You know, we were able to get a few big hits off lefties. Cody came in, did a great job shutting the game down. You know, Atchison did a great job. And, you know, Trevor continued to throw well. And, you know, it's getting more and more fun as the season continues.
Hey, a dumb question for you, Lonnie. Of course, you're used to that visiting with us. But, Adam Eaton was up there bunting twice with two strikes. I don't know if you heard anything, saw anything. Was he doing that on his own, or was that – do you have any idea?
You know, it was a good opportunity. Maybe they were trying to tie the ball game up.
Yeah.
He's the leadoff hitter. They got Melky and then Jose Abreu right behind him. So, I mean, I think maybe he was just looking to tie the ball game up. As a leadoff hitter, you know, you're just trying to get some stuff going and get some stuff started. And, you know, you try to get it down right there. It was a tough break, but, you know, luckily it came in our favor.
Well, great job today, Lonnie. Thanks so much.
Thanks. See you guys.
After an off day Thursday, it was on to Minneapolis for the series and road trip opener Friday night. Corey Kluber was perfect through five, and the Indians had it rolling offensively for the first time this season, thanks to Brandon Moss.
The pitch swung on, and Moss hammers one high and deep to left center. Escobar on the run, looking up. It is gone! A solo home run to left center for Brandon Moss, his first as a Cleveland Indian. A towering drive to left center to give the Indians a 2-0 lead.
But the Twins would score two runs in the bottom half of the sixth inning. And on their way to the win, Minnesota got it done in the 11th as Trevor Plouffe hit the game-winning home run in the bottom half of the 11th inning. So that's a brief look at your week gone by. Not a whole lot of action for the Indians, and they have been struggling out of the chute here in 2015, trying to get things turned around now away from home, as it's a nine-game road trip with three in Minneapolis, three in Chicago, and then three against the red-hot Detroit Tigers next weekend at Comerica Park. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll visit with Sandy Alomar Jr., the Indians' first base coach and catching instructor. That's next after this on the Indians Radio Network.
The pitch. A swing and a drive. Hit to deep left field. This ball is gone! To the home run porch for Sandy Alomar. A three-run home run. The Indians break it open, leading it 7-1. A swing and a fly ball hit pretty well to left. Stewart's looking up. This is gone to the bleachers. Sandy Alomar, a two-run homer. The party continues on the corner of Carnegie and Ontario.
Welcome back to Tribe Talk as we join you from Minneapolis this weekend. Jim Rosenhaus along with you as the Indians are embarking on a nine-game road swing within the Central Division. And they're doing it without their catcher, Yan Gomes, who was injured last Saturday against the Detroit Tigers. Gomes with a knee injury that's expected to keep him out anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks. So basically 2 months without a Silver Slugger Award winner for his work offensively, and really an asset for the Indians defensively in how he handles the pitching staff and controls the running game. Sandy Alomar is the Indians' catching instructor, and we caught up with Sandy earlier this week. Certainly someone who knows about knee injuries, as he underwent nine different knee surgeries during the course of his outstanding major league career. He's been a great benefit to the Indians as their catching instructor, and we asked him about the transition now and what it'll mean for Roberto Perez, and also how readily he can identify with what Yan Gomes is going through and what he will face in the weeks and months ahead.
Well, I see him facing a pretty intense rehab. MCL is not a fun thing. Every time you kind of move your knee, you're going to feel some pain. So the main thing is that we got a good training staff. They're going to get him back on the field. But the confidence in his mind is what is the key. You have to be able to have confidence in your leg.
The first time you had issues, how long did it take you to get over it, maybe more so mentally than physically?
Well, the first time I have issue was in 1988 when I was ran over by a runner at home plate, and it tore my meniscus, so I was kind of leery to squat down. After the surgery, I rehabbed for 3 weeks and came back, and it took me a while catching bullpens, literally say like a week or 2 weeks to start gaining confidence in my leg.
When you look at the alternative now, it's Roberto Perez, and he's been very impressive in his brief major league time. And what do you like about Roberto so far?
Well, Roberto is one of those guys that grew up catching, and he's, like I say, a natural catcher. He can adapt to any circumstances, and he studies the hitters very well. Pitchers love to throw to him. And like I say, one of the reasons that Roberto right now, after his hitting came along, he's not starting anywhere, it's because we have a star catcher in Yan Gomes, but this guy is capable of starting anywhere else.
Sometimes when you go in there every day and you're not used to that, it can be a challenge. But this time of year, coming off of spring training, a little bit easier transition for him?
I think it's, that's the one of the keys that I brought up to Chris Antonetti. It wasn't a month removed or 2 months removed from the spring training. It was just right away after spring training that Yan got hurt. So Roberto is pretty much playing every other day playing mode, so he should be okay making that that transition.
And when you look at what he means to the pitching staff, I know they had good success, including tonight's starter Carlos Carrasco throwing to him a year ago. How long does it take to develop that? Because it seems like it's come very quickly for him.
Well, he's all depends. We have a system that we try to catch every catcher with every pitcher, kind of match him up so that way they get familiar with him. And whether it's in the pens or in the games, and most of our catchers have caught everybody, so they're pretty much familiar with our guys. Roberto's been here in spring training for the last 3 years, so he has an idea about, you know, strength and weaknesses of our pitchers. He knows his strength. He's a solid defensive catcher, and I think that that's going to help in the long run.
And when you look at the injury to Yan Gomes on Saturday, is it just part of the position that it's difficult to get through a full season without some bumps and bruises, whether it's a major injury or some minor injuries along the way?
It's very difficult to be 100% when you are a catcher. You're going to go with some major bruises because foul tips and balls in the dirt that you don't realize because you're wearing a whole uniform and people don't see it. But I used to come home sometimes with black bruises all over my body from foul tips and balls in the dirt. That's something that you have to deal with, and mainly you have to block those out.
As a former catcher, tough to see the injury take place on Saturday from your perspective?
It's a very deceiving play. It's a play that hardly happened, but it's a play that you're really exposing your back leg. You normally want your catcher to have the ball, the foot on the plate. That way if the runner comes in sliding hard, you can flick that over. But Rashid Davis is a fast runner, so the speed of the runner can dictate the injury.
Had a tough day for the Tribe on Saturday, but they move forward with Roberto Perez. And Sandy, thanks so much for the insight. Appreciate it.
No problem.
That's Sandy Alomar Jr., the Indians catching instructor and first base coach, talking about the catching situation for the Tribe now that Yan Gomes is on the disabled list for 6 to 8 weeks. Stay with us. We'll have more to come after this on the Indians Radio Network.
A swing and a line drive to the gap in right center. It gets down and goes to the wall. Santana scores. Here comes Gomes. Relay throw to the plate. He's in scoring. Jerry Sands with a gapper to right center. A two out, two strike, two run double. The Indians have the lead by a score of 3-2.
The pitch.
A swing and a line shot to right. Martinez racing back. It's over his head. It's up against the wall. This will tie the game. Sands into second with another double. How about that? He blistered a two iron over the head of Martinez in right. A two out, two strike, two run double. Jerry Sands, four RBIs, a career day.
And the Indians have tied the game at five.
Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend from Target Field in Minneapolis, where the Indians are playing the Twins in a three-game weekend series. In the week gone by, the Indians with some contributions at the plate from Jerry Sands as they faced a slew of left-handed starting pitchers on the recent homestand. So Sands called up from AAA Columbus last weekend to give the Indians some offensive production from the right side of the plate. And it certainly worked out well last weekend as he became a crowd favorite after a big day against the Tigers last Saturday with four runs driven in. And we had a chance to visit with Jerry earlier this week, and he talked about the positives of coming up and playing well in your first game with a new team and how exciting that was for him after spending a lot of time in the minor leagues and rehabbing from injuries last season.
Yeah, absolutely. It was obviously it was a good atmosphere playing the Tigers opening weekend. And my debut with the team, it was fun. Like I said, I got a win out of it, but it was a good day at the plate individually, and hopefully I can build on it.
And a week ago at this time, you're getting ready for the AAA season to get going, and here you are in the starting lineup a third straight day. And are you at a point in your career, though, where nothing really surprises you about how things work sometimes?
No, I kind of have a grasp on what I was coming into with the Indians. So coming in, I knew I was going to be kind of that right-handed bat, bench guy, at least to start. And like I said, we got a couple lefties here in a row, so I kind of had an idea once I got called up that I would be probably in there for these guys, and especially with Brantley trying to take some time and assume they needed to play a little bit of outfield. So, I mean, I kind of knew what my role was, and I'm ready to go whenever they need me.
Last season, I know you missed significant time with the wrist injury. You come to spring training, though, trying to win a job and impressed. How difficult was it to be ready to go right at the start of spring training and try and win a job?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough, obviously, just coming back in general. And then I felt pretty good when spring started, but I still had some things to work out with my wrist and then just getting back into baseball shape. I mean, you can do all you want on a treadmill or running outside and then just standing on the field and kind of sprinting after a ball and then having to shut it down and then sprint on the bases and going back. So just getting back in shape and then obviously at the plate seeing the ball. So I'm glad, like I said, that the Indians worked with me a lot. I got to come out early for spring training and do a lot of things on my wrist and just get my body in shape. So, and then they worked with me all through spring and giving me a day here and there when I needed it, kind of not to overdo my arm and my body. So they worked with me, and then I was happy with how I swung the bat. I mean, it could have went either way, but I just wanted to make sure that I was staying healthy and then still getting my work in and seeing some pitches and getting ready regardless wherever I started the season.
Jerry Sands joining us back in the lineup tonight. You've had great success at certain levels of the minor leagues, and you've had some good success in the major leagues at times too. What do you feel you need to have that consistent success and now stay here if possible?
I think consistency is a big word right there. I think just kind of the consistent approach. I think as I've gotten a little bit older, I've kind of learned how to the ups and downs, kind of narrow those a little bit, and just kind of stay level-headed regardless of the outcomes of the day. Especially being a bench guy, you can't if you get one at bat a day, you can't dwell on it. I mean, you come off the bench and you're facing some pretty good arms. So I've just kind of learned to stay in the moment, but at the same point in time, kind of look at the bigger picture of if I am a bench guy, I'm only getting these at bats. Let me be prepared and then let my work show out on the field. Like I said, it's so tough to come off the bench when you're not playing a whole lot. But obviously, getting these starts is nice. But just keeping a consistent workout every day and then getting it done on the field. I mean, it's obviously it's easier to said than done, but I think consistency is my main focus.
And just going back to Saturday, you became an instant fan favorite with the game that you had, but you've had that before, from what I understand.
Yeah, the chant was pretty cool. Obviously, it's awesome. Like I said, the atmosphere was awesome here. Lots of people out there, and then the chant started. The chant started, I want to say in low A was the first time I heard it. It's obviously Jerry Springer, just about everybody's seen a show or two of that. And then they did it in Dodger Stadium as well, which was a pretty cool feeling. So, I mean, it's obviously awesome when the fans get into it and getting a little recognition of what you're doing. So it was a good moment.
A lot of fun out here, and Jerry, continued success. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Indians outfielder Jerry Sands providing a nice spark from the right side, as the Indians have faced a lot of left-handed pitching here early in the season. Well, the Indians have gotten a big boost on the mound from Trevor Bauer. Two of their three victories belong to Bauer, including Wednesday, as he was strong once again for six innings in picking up win number two after six scoreless innings his first time around against Houston in a victory. We visited with Trevor on Friday in Minneapolis and talked about the start of the season, and he said it's really been something that he's not all that pleased with how he's throwing. He's getting the results, but there's still a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to say that I was in midseason form, but definitely not. It was the second game of the season for me, so I guess I shouldn't expect to be in midseason form yet. But I'll take how it started off, for sure. 2-0, it's the first time I don't have a number in the loss column in my big league career. So it's kind of a nice feeling.
Encouraging somewhat that you can be not quite where you'd like to be, but you're still competing and getting the outs when you need them?
Yeah, I've always felt like I can compete, but this year I think that my not where I'd like to be is a lot better than my previous years, not where I'd like to be. Even my outing, my start so far, command-wise, I feel like I still had better command than I did at all last season. But it's not up to my standards. It's not. I know I'm capable of a lot more. So I think that's a testament to the work that I put in this offseason and kind of building up that standard and that base level where, at my worst, my worst is still better than where I was last year.
It seemed like you made some good progress command-wise in spring training, but is that not a fair way to look at it when you try and judge things in the spring?
I don't even know. I'm baffled myself because I feel like spring training was a good indication of what I'm able to do. I was able to throw strikes when I needed to, so as to keep away from walking people and get ahead in the counts and stuff like that. Then I get to the season, and it's like everything's completely backwards. Spring training, I gave up a lot of hits. I didn't walk very many people, give up a lot of runs. Get to season, and I had pretty good command in spring training. And I get to season, and now I'm not giving up hits, but I'm walking a ton of people. And I'm not giving up runs, but I can't throw strikes when I need to. It's weird. And I don't know exactly why it's going that way, but I don't think it's going to be a long-term problem. I expect to be a lot better in my next outing.
I know in the off season you have the time and the opportunities to go work on different things with different people.
Yeah.
During the season, how do you fix things a little more quickly if you can?
That's something I've been pretty good at in my career is being able to coach myself and being self-aware of, like, okay, I'm a little out of sync mechanically, and I was last outing. I think there's a couple small little mechanical adjustments that I can do that'll get me back to where I was in spring. I feel like I'm kind of getting stuck on my backside a little bit instead of being aggressive and moving towards the plate. So that obviously throws things off, but I have a lot of different modalities that I can use to get back on track for different things, whether it be mechanical or feel for a certain pitch or command stuff, or how I'm feeling physically in my physical routine and preparation and stuff. So I have a lot of different options that I can go to that I've used before and I've worked on, that if I use them again, it's a quick little touch-up type thing as opposed to a dedicated hardcore training thing like it would be in the offseason.
Trevor Bauer joining us, Indian starting pitcher. A win the other day against the White Sox, team now starting a series here in Minneapolis. You won't pitch this series, and is it how do you view a series like this where you go to a town and you know you're not going to pitch for 3 days? Is it a chance just to relax, or can you get something out of 3 days like this?
Well, it's a chance to see a division opponent that I know I'm going to pitch against many, you know, multiple times this year. So nothing really changes day to day, knowing that I am going to pitch or not going to pitch that series. It's a certain day in the cycle for my next start. So I come in, I get the same work done, watch a game. Depending on, you know, what day of the cycle it is, it will be nice to see Kluber throw to these guys and kind of see how he approaches them and watch some things on certain hitters. Kind of archive it for later in the season when we do face them, so I have a little bit more familiarity with them, on top of the scouting reports that we do and that I do and all that different stuff.
And the season about 10 days old, what have you liked? What have you seen from the team that's a struggle point right now that maybe has you concerned, or what are you encouraged about with this club?
Well, I think our pitching has gotten off to a good start as a whole. We've had a couple games where we got banged around, but I think people are throwing the ball well. And you know as well as I do that if you have a good pitching staff and you can throw the ball consistently and whatnot, you're going to set yourself up for good chance for success throughout the season. I think we have quite a few power arms. I think guys are still trying to kind of get into the season, get into their roles, and get rolling. I think we're going to be better than we have been, but I've been encouraged by the start on the pitching side, and that sets the tone for everything else. We're going to hit. Hitters are always a little bit behind pitchers to start the season. So we're gonna hit, and I think the guys are enjoying playing and loose and having fun around each other, and so I'm encouraged by it. I think that we're gonna start playing better ball here as the next month comes along, and hopefully maintain that throughout the rest of the season, put ourselves in a chance to make the playoffs and make a run.
Trevor, always good to talk baseball with you. Thank you for coming by.
Yeah, sure thing. Thanks for having me.
That's Indian starting pitcher Trevor Bauer. Always a great interview, and someone who can be technical at times, but really fills you in on how he goes about it on the mound, and that's interesting to say the least. Well, stay with us when we come back. It's another Tribe Tale from Indians Vice President Bob DiBiasio. That's next on the Indians Radio Network. Tribe Talk continuing with our final segment from Minneapolis, where the Indians dropped the opener of their series on Friday night against the Twins. They're back at it with day games on Saturday and Sunday, and then it's off to Chicago for a three-game series against the White Sox in the Windy City. And we conclude our Tribe Talk this week from Minneapolis with a Tribe Tale from Indians Vice President Bob DiBiasio.
Here's a pitch. It's a slow curve. Swing. It's a whipping line drive to left
center. Talk about Mike Trout.
It's time for another Tribe Tale with Bob DiBiasio.
Joining me now on this edition of Tribe Tales is a gentleman who spent only one season in a Tribe uniform, but what a season it was. We welcome former Indians outfielder Marquise Grissom. And Marquise, thank you for joining us. Before we dive into your baseball career, especially your season with the Indians, catch us up on what you're doing these days.
Since I retired from baseball, I started my own baseball association called MGBA, which is Marquise Grissom Baseball Association, ranging from 8 to 18, which I wanted to go back and serve this community where I come from as an athlete and as a person, to give other kids a great opportunity to, you know, to be successful at life. And we use baseball as a springboard to educate our kids and teach our kids the facts of life and the fundamentals of the game of baseball.
Well, that's beautiful. I know that community service had always been a cornerstone of who you are as a person, and we congratulate you on those efforts. Let's talk a little bit of baseball here. A 17-year big league career that features two All-Star games, four Gold Gloves. It starts with the Montreal Expos. You make your major league debut at the age of 22 in August of 1989. You actually join a pretty good baseball team, but they fire you right into the leadoff spot in your rookie debut. Take us back to that great day in your career.
Oh, what a day it was. sitting in AAA and get that call, get called up to the big leagues, was a feeling and something I'll never forget. You know, in the morning getting called up to the big leagues and getting a chance to face one of the greatest pitchers ever in Fernando Valenzuela. And I was kind of nervous, kind of excited, but, you know, walking into that locker room, seeing all those cameras, and never seeing 40,000, 50,000 people in the stands, that was a shocker to me. But I tell you what, it was the time of my life, and it kind of set the momentum for my whole career, where I got the little jitterbugs out of the way and went out there and went 1-for-3 with an RBI on a stolen base, and I felt like king, you know. I'll never forget that day.
Well, of course you had a stolen base. I mean, you led the National League in steals in 1991 with 76, then you follow that up with 98. So your legs were a big part of your game.
Yeah, it was. And I was just thinking about that, you know, a couple of weeks ago when I was talking to a kid, and I was telling him, you know, he runs real fast, and it hurts me to watch him run, because my last 7 or 8 years of my career, I think I was out there playing on one leg. And but it's exciting to have that speed. It's something you can't teach.
Well, let's fast forward to March of 1997. You're a mainstay in the outfield of the Atlanta Braves, and then boom, you and David Justice are traded to the Cleveland Indians for Kenny Lofton and Alan Embry. Had to be a shock to the system.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. You know, just playing against Cleveland in 95 in the World Series, and, you know, we've seen what an unbelievable team that Cleveland had then, and, you know, I was kind of shocked in it all, but, you know, going from one World Series team to another World Series team wasn't too bad. And getting that great opportunity to play with Manny and Jim Thome and Omar Vizquel, some Gold Glover Hall of Fame players, and the team that we had in Cleveland, it wasn't a bad move. But it was definitely a shock at the beginning.
Well, let's talk 97 postseason, because it was one of the most exciting and exhausting runs in Indians baseball history. The American League Division Series, we beat the Yankees 3-2. Sandy Alomar has that big homer off Mariano in game 4. It's exactly the jolt we needed. We go on and win that series in game 5. What do you remember about that series against the Yankees?
Oh, I tell you what, it was a lot of fun. It was nerve-wracking, but it was a lot of fun. You're looking at two powerhouse teams, you know, and us and the Yankees. And we knew it wasn't going to be easy, but I think we went in there with the right attitude, the right mindset that we were going to win. And I think that was key. And I really have to give a lot of credit to Mike Harbaugh. He really led us, you know, during that troubled time for us to get us up for those games. And we went out and we got the job done.
Well, then we move on to the 97 AL Championship Series. We beat the Orioles 4-2. It was a wild, wild series, as all 4 wins by the Indians are by 1 run. In game 2, the Tribe's down 4-2. 8th inning, you hit a 3-run homer off Armando Benitez to give the Tribe a 5-4 win. That was fun.
Yeah, I tell you what, I didn't even think I was going to play that game. I woke up that morning, I must have had some bad food the night before, and I was sick as a dog. And I sit in that locker room probably for about 4 or 5 hours with IV stuck in my arm. And for me, you know, being the player that I was, I could not miss a game, and I didn't want to miss a game. And I found some energy, you know, by the grace of God, gave me enough energy to get out there and try to play the game. And the first couple of innings, I was a little weary and thinking I made a bad move by, you know, not being 100% and letting my teammates down. Then after the 4th inning, I kind of felt a little bit better and kept feeling better and better every inning. And, you know, I think facing Armando that time, which he struck me out the night before with 3 fastballs, about 96, 97, and he threw me that slider just one too many times. I had a good chance to see it about 3 or 4 times at bat.
And it was a fun 3-run homer for all of us Tribe fans, indeed. Now, on game 3, Omar Vizquel has an attempted squeeze play. You're the guy on third base that ends up scoring. Give us your reflections on that crazy at-bat where Omar misses the ball, it goes to the backstop, you score the winning run.
Well, you know what? In that situation, I remember my little league coach told me, you know, I hit a ball one day to the outfield, and I didn't know if the guy caught the ball or not, and he chewed me out, told me, you just keep running no matter what, and let the umpire tell you to go back to first base. And And I never forgot that. Nick carried on all the way to that situation, to that incident where I didn't know if, you know, he fouled the ball off or not. But my instincts led me to just keep running. Just keep running. Remember what my little league coach told me about? If it's a foul ball, the umpire will send you back. But I kind of sold it. I didn't know if it was a foul ball or not, but I kind of sold it. And I kept on running, and luckily the umpire said, you know, it wasn't a foul ball.
That was a great victory for the Tribe. Now Tony Fernandez hits a solo homer in Game 6 in the top of the 11th. We end up winning 1-0 as Jose Mesa closes out the game. And you are the American League Championship Series MVP.
I'll never forget it. I tell you what, it was a lot of fun. And I have to give a lot of credit to all my teammates and the coaching staff. You know, any team, they win a world championship or get a chance to go to a World Series, it takes an effort from everybody. And that's what I loved about that team. Great attitude, great chemistry amongst everybody. And I have to give a lot of credit to my teammates, too, as well.
Well, we're off to the World Series then, a place that you absolutely enjoy. It's your third straight World Series, having played in 95 and 96 with the Braves. And you end up at the end of Game 7 in extra innings. Obviously, we lose to the Marlins, but you have a 15-game hitting streak over those 3 years in the World Series. You hit .360 for us. That had to be obviously very special. I mean, you rise to the occasion in those big games.
Well, you know what? I think that's what you work hard for. And, you know, going 3 years in a row, I've seen a lot of my teammates a little nervous, a little scared, a little frustrated. And, of course, the lights on and, you know, everybody, all the other teams are at home watching you too. And I think that for me, it was just it was the most exciting feeling in the world. And just to be in a World Series, I was in awe. But to grasp that moment and go out there and give it to all, that's something I worked so hard for. And there's no way I could go out there and be timid, nervous, overexcited, but just go out there and play your game and perfect your craft as best possible. And you strike out 3 times or you hit 3 home runs, you know, that's what you do. But I enjoy those moments when the lights are on.
Well, despite being with the Indians for only one season, Marquise, we are very grateful that our paths crossed, and we thank you for all the fun you gave us during a wild run in 1997. And on behalf of Tribe fans everywhere, we wish you and yours the very best.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Marquise Grissom, our latest Tribe tale.
Well, that'll do it for this week's edition of Tribe Talk. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll join you next week from Detroit, where the Indians will play the Tigers next weekend at Comerica Park. Until then, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Been listening to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.